This is Afternoons with Rob Breckenridge on News Talk 770 Radio, Calgary's breaking news and conversation station.
Welcome back. Afternoons on News Talk 770. Rob Breckenridge with you. Angela Cocott will be in with Calgary today after 3 o'clock. As I mentioned before, the bottom of the hour, the question of equalization came up yesterday, and which gets down to the question of, well, how does it work in the first place? Equalization is a sore spot, I think, for a lot of Albertans. It has been for a long time. In the midst of Alberta's economic downturn, questions have been raised. Even the official opposition in Alberta have suggested that equalization be reviewed. Saskatchewan's premier has suggested the same. And maybe there's circumstances that warrant that. I don't think anybody's suggesting the system is perfect. Far from it, actually. And maybe there are all kinds of improvements that could be made. And maybe Alberta and Saskatchewan have legitimate beefs. But we should all come from a starting point of understanding how this works in the first place. And again, it's not just equalization. There are a number of federal transfer programs that exist. So where does the money for those programs come from? How is it determined who gets what? And is Alberta getting a raw deal? So some big questions here, but I want to try to explore some of this with our next guest. His name is Eric Hartman. He's a practice lead for Intergovernmental Social and Economic Policy at the Mowat Center. Eric, thanks for making some time for us here. Welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Rob. Glad to be here.
We were talking about some big complex questions here, and the equalization formula, for example, is certainly complex. But the basic premise of equalization, explain that to us.
Well, I guess the basic premise is enshrined in the Constitution, and what it's supposed to do is ensure that all provinces are able to provide reasonably comparable levels of service at reasonably comparable levels of taxation. And the way it does that is, the feds outline a formula about that tries to measure exactly how much money or revenue-raising ability each province has, compares it to a standard, and then tries to fill the gap between how much a province can raise in revenue and that standard. It's a sort of basic kind of gap-filling exercise. And okay. Go ahead, Rob.
No, okay. And so the money for that program comes out of federal revenues, correct?
That's correct. Okay. So the money that the feds levy from their own personal income taxes, corporate taxes, sales taxes, all that, it's a federally raised revenue, and it's a federal spending program on the other side.
Right, because it's been suggested in the past here in Alberta that somehow we could withhold transfer payments, we could opt out of transfer payments, or that we'd have more money for the Alberta government to spend if we weren't transferring all of this money. It really doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I think that's a common misconception about how equalization works in Canada. But there are kind of dynamics, beneath the surface of those types of arguments that, have some, justification to them as well.
Well, Alberta is a net contributor.
Absolutely. It's the biggest net contributor to the Federation by quite a large margin.
Right. And so explain why that is.
Well, the reason that it is because Albertans, when they pay their federal taxes, are richer than average Canadians. They have higher incomes. The GDP per capita in Alberta is higher than the rest of Canada. So when you layer that on top of a progressive income tax, for example, that the federal government raises, more money comes out of Alberta going towards Ottawa than it would for, say, a poorer province like Prince Edward Island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which again is by design then, obviously.
Absolutely.
The point of the program.
Yes.
That's not to say, I suppose, then, that no money comes to Alberta, because there are, equalization is only one of the federal transfer programs, correct?
That's true. And it's supposed to, address a very specific purpose. But there are, lots of other federal transfer programs that would go directly to the government of Alberta, the Canada Health Transfer being the biggest one, and that does provide quite a bit of support to the Alberta government's spending on the healthcare program. It's in the order of about 21% of of Alberta's healthcare spending would be represented by federal transfers. There's also the Canada Social Transfer that would support post-secondary education spending, like on universities and other social programs in the province that would come from federal transfers as well.
Right, because I was reading recently that Ontario, which was became a have-not province.
Yeah, about 6 years ago. Yeah.
That Ontario's beef is that despite the fact that they're a have-not province, they're still a net contributor when you look at the entire picture. Now, why would that be?
Well, so the same underlying dynamics that apply to Alberta apply to Ontario. Ontarians are, on average, richer than most Canadians. So, again, when they pay their federal taxes, they're giving more to Ottawa than they receive back in terms of transfers and federal services. So despite the fact that one formula that the federal government runs to measure whether or not a province is a have-not, and I don't really like that term, but mm-hmm. it's a term that often gets used with respect to equalization. But let's embrace the term for a second. And if you do call Ontario a have-not province, it's only when it's measured through the equalization lens. It still is. Ontario still does contribute quite a bit more than it gets back from Ottawa.
Right. So if we change the formula, if say the goal of changing the formula was to send less to the have-not provinces, right, would that necessarily mean anything for the have provinces? Would they necessarily be any better off?
Oh, no, not necessarily. It would depend, I guess, on how one financed the giving less to have-not provinces, right? Whether or not there's an opportunity cost that would be associated with it. If equalization were to be, reduced by an amount and then spent on, programs of more general application, like, say, infrastructure spending that might benefit all provinces and territories reasonably equally, then there is a scenario where Alberta could derive a benefit from something like that. But when it comes to fiscal transfers and things like that, and competing interests of all the provinces, there's often a lot of horse trading that kind of goes on. So even if there were in the unlikely situation where there was some agreement that equalization payments ought to be reduced, what would that negotiated settlement between say first ministers look like? That's an open question, and tough to forecast how that
right.
would go.
But how do natural resources factor in to how equalization is calculated?
So natural resources are a pretty big driver of what we call fiscal disparities in equalization. The important point of natural resources is that they are pretty unevenly allocated across Canada. So you have Ontario. It would appear that not many dinosaurs died here, however many million years ago. So we don't have a lot of oil. So in that category, Ontario would be, say, a net recipient in equalization, whereas Alberta, has so much more natural resource revenue than any other province. That does drive so much of the difference in revenue-raising capacity between provinces.
Now, and maybe this is more of a legal question, because you mentioned that this is written into our Constitution. Does changing equalization, is that akin to changing the Constitution? How difficult is it to do?
It's not at all difficult. I would say the principle of equalization is enshrined in the Constitution. So there has to be some federal policy that seeks to meet that goal of equalization, but the formula has changed all the time. The federal government tinkers with the formula quite often, and it actually does have a kind of 5-year renewal period built into it as well, where small changes are often made around the margins, but bigger changes are often made as well. Once Ontario entered into the program, which was pretty expensive, the federal government put a cap on the growth of the program, which was a legislative change. So it took a change to the federal legislation, which is not an impossible thing to do, but not without political consequences either.
Mm-hmm. So Alberta's current plight of high unemployment, shrinking economy, et cetera, does that necessarily change in anything in terms of how these programs are administered and what it might mean for Alberta?
It changes the inputs into the formula. Less fiscal capacity as measured by the equalization program, that'll shrink the differences between provinces and have all kinds of knock-on effects in terms of how much all the provinces who do receive equalization currently receive, but it's not likely that Alberta is going to enter the program anytime soon.
Right, which, it might seem counterintuitive to people. We're hearing about layoffs, our friends, neighbors, losing their jobs. We're seeing businesses shut down, right? I mean, it's tough times in Alberta, but I guess Alberta's still very much a half province.
I'd say it's still the Cadillac half province that is out there. The GDP per capita is still light years ahead of the Canadian average in any other province, despite the, economic troubles that Alberta is having. But when we talk about Alberta and equalization and whether or not it should be receiving equalization because of the economic problems that Alberta is going through, I think that does come from a misunderstanding of what equalization is intended to achieve. And I would argue that there are other programs and other type of policy levers that the federal government can use to be more helpful and more responsive to the particular conditions of Alberta.
Right. And, one could look strictly at equalization, as you said. I mean, it's pretty clear that Alberta is very much a net contributor. And one could try to put a dollar figure on that. But would it be more difficult to do than if we were to look at all federal transfers to try to quantify how far ahead or behind Alberta might be?
Well, I think when you look at the entire picture of all federal spending and all federal revenue that's raised in Alberta, I'd say it's not impossible to put a number on it. I would say that the net contribution that Alberta makes to the Federation is, north of $20 billion a year, which is I can't emphasize how big that is compared to the rest of the other provinces provide. Most provinces are net beneficiaries from the Confederation, but both Ontario and Alberta, and now Saskatchewan and BC are all net contributors to the Federation. When you kind of take into account all the moving parts of federal spending and revenue.
Right. One other point that some people are raising here on the text, and it goes back to the question of natural resources, the suggestion that there's a built-in disincentive for provinces like Ontario or Quebec to develop their natural resources so as not to negatively impact how the formula benefits them. What do you make of that?
I'd say that the jury is still out on that one. There's a lot of argument in academic circles and in policy circles of whether or not there are disincentives or what they call clawbacks, and you would see that a lot when Saskatchewan, for example, was receiving equalization. They would often get their equalization payments clawed back dollar for dollar for every dollar increase of their natural resource revenue, which was, I would argue, an unfair result of the way that the program was run in those days. But at the same time, the clawback was still from equalization, itself, and not from natural resources or province's own source revenue. And when you think of all the jobs and economic activity that are associated with developing natural resources, I'm not really sure that the provinces have quite as much incentive to game the system on the natural resources side than sometimes is made out to be.
All right, Eric, we'll leave it there. Appreciate the insight. More at mowatcenter.ca. Thanks so much for coming on with us here today. Appreciate it.
Pleasure speaking with you, Rob.
All right, take care. Eric Hartman, who's a practice lead for Intergovernmental, Social, and Economic Policy at the Mowat Center. Let's take a break. We'll come back and let that sink in here. It's Afternoons on News Talk 770. Welcome back. On an unrelated note, I don't know if you people are PVRing this stuff or not. As I say, I've been kind of cynical about the Olympics, not necessarily following the Olympics, but women's soccer I find interesting and intriguing, and Canada's pretty good at it. From what I understood going into this, Canada had never beat or even drawn against Germany in women's soccer, but here's the spoiler alert. We just beat them. 2-1 is the final score, which I believe, though, we're still just in the round robin, if I'm not mistaken. Patrick looked into it. Here we go. We're good. All right, round robin, but still, hey, big win. Big win in Group F, if you're keeping score at home. All right, on the question of equalization. So some explanation as to how it works, right? Ottawa collects taxes from everybody right across the country and then has a formula for how much money they give to provinces, how much money they give on equalization, which has a specific purpose, but there are other programs as well. As mentioned, Alberta's healthcare is funded to the tune of about 20% by contributions from Ottawa. So money does come to Alberta through other programs, but no, we don't receive equalization payments. And even if we change the formula, we still wouldn't receive equalization payments. So what do we want to happen? If we're just mad because other provinces are getting money, we can cut them off, but that just means Ottawa has more in its coffers. Doesn't mean anything for Alberta necessarily. Someone texts to say, well, $20 billion, the heck, that more than wipes out our deficit. Well, yeah, if Ottawa wrote us a check for $20 billion, that would wipe out our deficit. Is that what we're asking for here? And they had another text, though, that says, well, we don't want to receive payments, we just don't want to make them. But that's kind of, we're kind of back to square one here, because we don't make equalization payments per se. Just like we don't make national defense payments to Ottawa. Ottawa pays for the military out of its revenues. They pay for equalization out of its revenues. The only way more money would stay in Alberta is if Ottawa lowered its tax rates. But then more money would stay in every province. But I'm okay with that if they want to do that. By all means, lower federal tax rates. So there's the short version. Another one here says, wow, that was crooked what they did to Saskatchewan, right? And so Saskatchewan's been on both sides of it, so they got some legitimate beefs. Other texts pointing out that the formula doesn't consider profits from hydroelectric dams as a natural resource. Ontario and Quebec have oil and gas. They choose not to develop it. You know, Eric Hartman said, well, there is something to that. So we could pursue that. We could fight that battle, and maybe at the end of the day it means Quebec gets less. But I guess we're back to the question, well, how does that help Alberta? Anyway, we've got to take another quick break here. Back to wrap things up, 974-8255 if you want to jump in our time remaining. We're back after this.
Afternoons with Rob Breckenridge, starting at 1230 on News Talk 770 Calgary.